What's up, guys? Welcome to the Extremely Biased Sports Podcast. We're your hosts like every time. I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Mick.
All right, dude. So we took a little hiatus again, but this hopefully is the last one. We'll see.
School's been rough, man.
Yeah, school's been rough. I agree. Online school is actually the worst, too.
It's just too fucking hard.
Yeah. So either way, how have you guys been?
Like I said, school's hard. It fucking sucks. It's been ruining my mood.
Oh, why are you always in the mood? Walking around like you're brand new?
Dude, I feel like a cranky old person.
All right, let's get into the NFL news. Because, like, you know what? Like, after, like, when I first came in to write these questions, I was thinking, like, damn, we don't really have that much NFL stuff to talk about. But then, like, looking at it,
it's a lot of stuff.
NFL offseason might be even more exciting than the NFL in season. It's pretty crazy.
I mean, already this one's more exciting than last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because last year was just Brady, and that was like the big, oh, shit. But this year is like, oh, damn.
And I think we're like just touching like the tip of the iceberg, dude. Because like Adam Schefter said that he predicts 8 teams to have a different starting quarterback week one next year than they did last year, which is insane, right? You never see quarterbacks switch teams that often. So speaking of which, this is a pretty big one. Quarterback Carson Wentz finally got traded from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Indianapolis Colts for a third round pick and a conditional second round pick. The second round pick could be a first round pick if Wentz plays 75% of snaps, or he plays 70% and makes the playoffs. Who do you think won this trade, and what are your thoughts on the fit?
I mean, I'm going to let you go first because you're the biggest Carson Wentz fan here. All right, so make your case.
Like me? All right, dude. I want to thank you for being so kind. And first of all, I got to say, finally, bro. Finally. I said this midway through last season. Bro, just think about that. So obviously, I'm pretty excited. I mean, personally, I think the fit is perfect. I think they need to get some wide receivers because, like, that wide receiver core was already shaky last year. I don't put, like, the failure of that offense, like, the passing offense completely on Phillip Rivers. The wide receivers need some help. But I think you go out, you make some moves that aren't really going to be that expensive because there's guys like Corey Davis out there and A.J. Green who are pretty decent and they're not going to demand a big contract. But I think it's a really good fit. Me, personally, I think the Colts win this trade, like, no matter what, whether they have to give up a second and a third or a first and a third. Because the thing is, like, the second and a third, then it's not really that much. You're giving up guys who could be something or could be absolutely nothing because you're in the second and third round for someone who could potentially be your franchise quarterback. And then if you give up your first round pick, then that means you have found your first round quarterback because either he played most of the season, and if he's playing most of the season, then that means that he did pretty good, or he played some of the season, and he made the playoffs, which means that he did pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I'm looking at it. And I think him and Frank Reich are going to be a really good fit. I'm excited for it.
That's valid. I mean, I was, like I said in the group chat when it happened, I really wanted, well, this is before it happened, I really wanted the guy in the Rams, Matthew Stafford, to go to the Colts. But then once he went to LA, so I'm like, okay, Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson, because both of them had the issues of O-line, and Colts have the best O-line in football, so I was like, okay. And when I saw this Carson Wentz, like, I'm pretty excited because, like, yeah, in the Eagles, I did not like him. And I always talk shit about Carson Wentz, but now that he's in a team to actually, like, do well, I'm pretty excited. But I'm just like, I'll take Carson Wentz in the Colts. So I'll say, oh, yeah, maybe the Saints, but no, I'm just being that guy.
Yeah, just to say something really quick before Jerry goes, what is it? Dan Orlovsky came on NFL Live and said that he thinks Carson Wentz is going to be in the MVP conversation. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but I think I would not be surprised if he wins Comeback Player of the Year next year. That's all I'm saying. Even though there's a lot of good candidates next year. All right, Jerry.
There's too many people injured for him to win Comeback Player of the Year, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. If he comes out, he throws 40 touchdowns and like 10 picks, and they make the playoffs, and then one seed. It's gonna be kind of hard not to give it to him, especially coming up how dog shit of a season he was.
He won't. I mean, but like we said this several times, but it's like Comeback Player of the Year doesn't really work like Most Improved Player. But no. Like, there's too many people that are like injured that can make bigger impacts. If the 49ers make the playoffs, Nick Bosa would win it. If the Browns end up winning the NFC North and
OBJ.
Partially through OBJ, like it's too many people. But if the Colts can just go make moves at wide receiver, that'd be fine. There's too many free agents right now. Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, even Juju. So it's just like You can make something work.
Oh, Juju got the blue hair. Do you think that's like a sign of things to come?
Dude, I deadass was thinking about that. I'm like, is this a hidden message? Is he coming to Miami or like to a blue team?
He's going Super Saiyan, bro. That's what he's doing.
He's going Super Saiyan Blue, dude. But you know, he's been in talks to Carson Wentz, bro. It's recruiting. It's recruiting time. You know what I mean?
I know that they have a lot of free agents at receiver, but they also have too many running backs.
I mean, Marlon Mack, they'll probably re-sign for like very minimum because he tore his ACL last year, which kind of sucks because I do like Marlon Mack. I think he's a
pretty I think they'll cut him.
You think so? I mean, he was franchise tag last year. So then I think that they're probably just signing back for like next to nothing. And then Jonathan Taylor's a stud. So
yeah, they get rid of Hines.
That's going to be the starting running back next year.
Nadeem Hines is fine, though. I mean,
yeah, Hines is pretty good as a backup, too. I think that's probably the one, the odd man out that'll probably end up getting cut, but he'll get picked up by another team. But, I was going to say something. Oh, for the wide receivers, I know Kenny Golladay is actually probably not going to be available to any team because the Lions said they're going to end up franchising tagging him if they don't sign him to a long-term extension, which kind of sucks.
But and the Bears might actually franchise Allen Robinson, too.
Bro, you see, dog, to me, that'd be such a stupid move. Oh, my God. We can add the Bears, bro, but the Bears are such a frustrating team to me. I was so happy they didn't trade for first and
franchise Mitch, bro. You clearly have your option.
That's what they're going to end up doing. They're going to end up bringing back Mitch. Like, that's their best option right now. Unless they trade for like Russell Wilson or something like that. But either way, continuing to talk about the Indianapolis Colts, Michael Pittman Jr., who was a rookie wide receiver last year, came out and said there is no way he'll give Carson Wentz number 11. What are your reactions to the statement?
You're stupid.
Apparently, Wentz didn't want the number 11. That's why he came out and said that.
Oh. Right,
but like they said, they're like he didn't mean it in bad intention, apparently. Like they were just asking him, and they're like, "Oh, there's no way, because he doesn't want the number. He wants to switch his numbers."
Okay,
so
that gives some context.
Yeah. I was gonna say it was stupid because like he's not no one in the league, but like Carson Wentz is a veteran player. Like Michael Pittman Jr. didn't have like a breakout season where he can just like, "Oh yeah, this is my number." But now understanding the context.
Yeah. But even then, it's like, Carson Wentz is a Brady either. You know what I mean?
No, I know, but he's still better than Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, like there's no reason for you to say that.
Yeah,
but
again, understand the context now makes sense.
I don't know.
For me, I just don't like how he said it publicly. Like, if you want to like not give Carson Wentz a number privately, that's one thing.
I guess he was asked about it publicly.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd probably just say like we'll just handle it behind the scenes. Like, I don't know. I would have handled it differently. That's the only thing I'm trying to say. But like. With the context, yeah. What number do you guys think Carson Wentz is going to end up taking? I know Pat McAfee was saying maybe go to 1. I think that'd be pretty cool. I don't know.
Dude, I have this feeling he's going to take 7.
I was thinking that in my head right now. He'd probably look pretty cool in 7.
I have a feeling it's going to be 7.
I don't know, bro. I like the idea of him taking 1. I don't know why. It's Pat McAfee's number. Pat McAfee was talking shit about him going to the Colts for like the entire, like since the Colts were out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
so. I think it'd be pretty funny.
I don't know. I think it's hope for 7.
All right. Derek Carr wears number 1, right?
He wears 4.
4.
Damn it, dude. Because I was going to be like, oh, speaking of number 1. Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr has been the center of a lot of offseason rumors thus far. But, like, they're wildly different. All right. Half the rumors say the Raiders are going to be shopping Carr, and half of them are going to be saying that they're going to be signing into an extension, which is a specific report that came out today. Which one of these do you think is more likely to come out true?
Probably the extension, because I feel like every year I hear about the Raiders shopping Carr. Like, I hear about it every year. So, like, when will it be real?
I hear about this shit every day.
Every day. Like,
it's so annoying. All right, go.
Anytime there's like quarterback, sorry to interrupt. Anytime there's any like quarterback like fiascos, it's always, oh, but Derek Carr is getting shopped every fucking time. So it's just. Unless the Raiders have a true shot to get, like, Deshaun Watson, then, yeah. But, like, other than that, I don't really believe it.
I know the initial rumors were, like, trading Derek Carr for 2 first-round picks. But I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit of a stretch. I don't think you get 2 first-round picks.
You don't get 2 first-round picks.
To then, like, flip them to get Deshaun Watson. But either way, continue.
I thought they were going to release him because don't they have Mariota on contract, too? Like, paying a lot?
Yeah, but you're not gonna bench Derek Carr for Mariota. Yeah,
but you're not gonna extend Derek Carr when you're paying your backup like a shit ton of money for a backup.
I mean, they're not paying him like a shit ton of money. They're paying him like $8 million a year. It's like not that much, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so I'll be completely honest, 100% with you. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I thought he was getting paid like 15. So that's like, why I'm like, why the fuck are they gonna do this? Okay, but I understand. I don't know.
I think they're gonna sign up to an extension personally because I think that's like their best option. I don't really think they're gonna shop him because then like if you shop him, right? I think John Gruden's pretty close to being on the hot seat. Like, it's been 4 years and you haven't even broken 500 pretty much. Or I think maybe they were 9-7 this year, weren't they?
No, they were
7-9.
They were 10-6. No, they were like 10-6.
Let me check.
No, they were like 9-7, I believe.
Yeah, that's why I was saying they broke 500 this year.
Yeah. The problem with that team,
like, liar, 8-8.
8-8, nice. like I've said 1,000 times, it's just when shit goes wrong, who do you point your finger to? You know what I mean? And it's like there are so many issues that team had where it's just like, your old line was shit. You had to go through backups because of COVID. You had to fucking, what else, bro? What else did that team suffer through? Their run game was atrocious. Their defense wasn't that solid. Just play calling was terrible. Like, I think, I really think John Gruden, no matter what happens with Derek Carr, he's number one on the hot seat for next year, I believe.
Probably. I think if they don't make the playoffs, he probably will more likely than not get fired. Which is pretty crazy because he has a 10-year deal, which is, I think, the only thing that stops him from firing him already. Right? Because, like, coaching contracts are fully guaranteed. So they owe him that $100 million no matter what. So if they were to fire him, I think this would be his fourth or fifth year in already, then you'd have to pay off $50 million for him pretty much doing nothing. And Mark Davis is already one of the poorest owners in the NFL. I think he is the poorest owner in the NFL.
He might actually be. After the switch, he might be.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on. Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson has yet to be traded this offseason. His options are slowly dwindling down with the Rams being out of the discussion, Detroit being out of the discussion, and now the Colts being out of the discussion. But where
isn't
do you
Deshaun
think
number four?
He is number four. Oh, damn.
Damn, you missed that on there.
Damn it.
Dude, I want him to be in the AFC West, the Broncos or Raiders, because I want to see him go against Mahomes twice a year. But realistically, what's looking now, bro, I think the Panthers are really going to go hard for that shit, bro.
Hell yeah.
I think that's the one that's probably like the Panthers are really making a push to get him. But for me, bro, it makes no fucking sense how the 49ers have not traded for him yet, dude. And like, this isn't me just being a fan, right?
So what you go back, give up?
I'd give up anything they want besides players. I'd give up as many picks as they want. 3 first-round picks, 4 first-round picks. I don't care, right? You got to think about it like this. 2 years ago, you're in the Super Bowl, right? You lost that Super Bowl because Jimmy G couldn't complete that throw. And he was off by like 3 or 4 yards, right? Deshaun Watson makes that throw. So therefore, your team is literally would have a Super Bowl win if they had Deshaun Watson, right? So if you make the Super Bowl next year or you're in the Super Bowl conversation, that means your first round picks would be 28 to 32. Trade it. That's pretty much a second round pick at that point. Give as many first round picks as they want. Make the trade. That makes your team so much better. You understand the people saying is like, it's not a really good scheme fit because Kyle Shanahan likes running the ball. If Kyle Shanahan cannot change his offense to make plays for Deshaun Watson, then like, dog, maybe he's a little bit overrated as a coach. All right. When you have a chance to get like a top 3 quarterback in the NFL, and this is a guy that will put you to compete with Aaron Rodgers and Brady that are in the NFC now, do it. And I love Jimmy G. No, like we've said this before, no one loves Jimmy G as much as I do, but like, you can flip him to another team or even trade him to the Texans, and that'll give him a little bit more value. Dog, I just don't understand why they haven't done it yet. I think that would probably make them the NFC favorites. In my opinion, that'd be the NFC favorite next year. It makes no sense to me. But yeah, the Panthers are the ones clearing cap space and everything to make the trade, which I think is a very stupid trade.
Why?
Why?
Because I don't think... Are they going to make the playoffs over the Buccaneers next year?
That I feel like the Panthers have to capitalize on like how that division is dwindling, right? Because okay, maybe they don't superior like go over the Bucks next year or maybe even the year after, depending what Brady does. But you know, Deshaun's in it for the long I think, and I think the Panthers can realize like they could fix. They're more competent, have a more competent front office than the Texans do, right?
That's not saying much. Let's be honest here.
I don't know, man. It's like I feel like they have the. I feel like they have like what's the word I'm trying to look for? I don't know, but I feel like they're capable of like making something out of this, right? If like you already have like solid receivers, I feel like in this trade you have to give up CMC. But
I don't think that's that big a deal, though, dude.
I think that's fine, right?
What? Right?
I think you give up CMC, like four firsts, a couple seconds, you're golden. I think that's it. You already have competent receivers. You have a solid running back in Mike Davis. You have a O-line, right? And their secondary is really good. That team could probably do something if they had Deshaun Watson. It would probably change. It probably shows up. Mike Davis isn't worth anything. It probably changes the whole capital of like that division, especially.
I mean, the only reason they'd be getting rid of CMC is because like they can't pay both his and Deshaun Watson's quarterbacks. I mean, not quarterbacks, contract. Yeah.
No, I just got to see it as like give up your best player for best player, but that's valid too.
Because like the truth is like I don't really think the Texans are going out being like, oh yeah, we want Christian McCaffrey, because like a running back on a second contract, never a good thing, dog.
Ooh, right? Do you think? This is all hypothetical because none of this has happened. But let's say the Texans receive picks and CMC for Deshaun, whatever. Do you think? Because again, that team CMC are not as dog water. So you think they trade CMC for more picks?
Maybe, but yeah. I don't think you get that many picks back.
Hey, but you still get picks.
I mean, there's a team that would give you a first. There's a team that would give you a first, and even if the Panthers were to give up their first in CMC, that's the 15th overall pick, or not even. No, I'm lying to your face. That's the 8th overall pick, right? So it's just like. Like what? Like you can there take your franchise guy. You can fucking take Mac Jones or whatever, or if Zach Wilson's still there, and then you have CMC. You just work your way through getting receivers either through free agency or if somebody decides not to franchise one of their people. Like you make the best out of this.
No, we will be talking about the 8th overall pick later in the NFL news segment. Just to let you guys know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna say it now. Like, a report came out saying that Mac Jones, apparently his floor in the draft is the 8th pick, so he's not dropping past the 8th, according to a report I saw today. So that's just like a little insight.
But
I thought the Broncos are also heavily rumored to get Deshaun Watson, another team that I think is pretty stupid because, like, I don't think he really makes the Broncos. Well, I mean, maybe he does. I mean, next year with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. I mean, he is a lot better than Drew Lock, and that's probably is what they were missing this season. But like, you're in a thing with the Chiefs. That's rough. That's rough.
You got to be competitive. You got to like give your all. Like, you have to make this like you're going up against the next dynasty. You have to make this like the best thing you can do. So you give it all away.
So yeah, it'd be cool to see Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes play twice a year.
That's the team I want them to go to, is the Broncos. But
do you guys understand why, like, I'm so mad at the 49ers for not making the trade yet? If we swap Jimmy G for someone like a Kirk Cousins or a Matt Ryan, I'm gonna be so fucking mad. Because in my opinion, their floors are higher, but their ceilings are so much lower. Like, we already know what Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan can do. All right. I think Jimmy G's been to the Super Bowl, right? Like, just stick with him at this point, right? You're like, at that point, you're just messing with the team, because I know George Kittle loves him and he says that they can win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. So like, I think you should only switch him for like a someone that's like a definite upgrade. And I don't think Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan are that. Just gets me mad. I get heated about this. All right, we're going to move on to Jerry's team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, is under contract for the team next year. But Steelers GM Kevin Colbert, when he was asked about it, he gave no clear answer about who would be the starting quarterback next year, week one. So do you think Big Ben will be the Steelers starting quarterback next year? And if not, who do you think it'll be?
I'm going to say really quick, because I'm at the Steelers guy here, and I'll pass it on to Jerry.
if he's under contract and he's still there, then he plays week one, but they slowly phase him out for Haskins. That's why I think.
I'm here for it. Honestly, at this point, Dewey? I'm here for it. At this point, I believe the team, like, I genuinely believe if Ben comes back, we don't make the playoffs. Like, I like genuinely believe that.
What do you mean? He's been playing on elite level.
An elite level, top five quarterback.
Bro, he threw four touchdowns, bro. He threw 500 yards in the playoff game, bro.
The thing that I hope for is that the Steelers don't fuck up their first overall, right? Like, I really don't want them to take Najee Harris. I don't think that that's the answer, right?
I mean, you guys do need a running back. Let's be honest here.
I know, yeah. Like, the Steelers have already said they're not going to re-sign James Conner. Like, he's going to walk. So it's just like, I know that, but it's just like that O-line's crumbling, bro. Like, a better running back won't help you. Like, it's like that those tackles are so important. And we saw them in the fucking Chiefs game in the Super Bowl. You literally saw that. And guess what the Chiefs did? They took a running back in the first round. You see what I mean? I don't think that's the answer. I think you build up the protection of not just your back, but like everybody. Like, it. I've gone into so many arguments with Steelers fans about this shit, bro. But if they take Najee Harris, I mean, what am I gonna do about it?
You'd be mad, very, very
stupid,
mad.
Stupid.
Write a strongly worded letter to management. Come on, bro.
Whore.
Dude, start honestly, bro. If only we had better cap, because I'd be like, bro, we go out, sign Aaron Jones, bro, and just ride the wave. But that's not gonna happen. He's going to Miami. So
he's going to Miami.
You think so?
It's either he goes to Miami and plays for a competent team, or he goes to the Jets for stupid amounts of money. So at that point, like, it's up to him. Yeah, literally. So yeah, pick your poison. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback situation is a little rough. I still believe that the Steelers should trade up to take like Mac Jones or Trey Lance or anything like that. Like, I think they should. But I don't mind rolling with Haskins, honestly. I'm not against it at this point.
I really hope you guys keep I hope like Haskins is your future, so you have to root for Ohio State quarterback.
That's it pains me. Talking shit about Ohio State quarterbacks for years, and now that's my quarterback.
That's your guy.
God damn it.
I gotta say, for me, I think Big Ben will be the starter next year. I do not think that's a good thing for you guys. Bro, his arm looks shot. Let's be honest here, dude. Like, his arm looks pretty much dead.
He made some deep ball. Like, he made some deep pass. I saw one at the Jaguars game, but it's just...
It's not the same.
All right. Like everybody says on Twitter, the Steelers should have fixed this quarterback situation 4 years ago. We shouldn't be in this problem. But this team is so incompetent.
Oh, fuck. Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. No, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers. So then, you know, these guys.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's the replacement, dude. He'll sit behind Big Ben for a year, you know, learn how to play the quarterback position because he's not that good, and then take over. Seriously, though, I think Big Ben's be the Steelers starting quarterback, but I do think Dwayne Haskins is not the future of the quarterback position. And I think you guys are going to make a move for Sam Darnold. I think that's the play.
I think Sam Darnold's the perfect fit. Again, that's another argument that I've had with fucking these Steelers clowns. Is that like they're like, oh, yeah. Like, bro, you see him, he's washed. I'm like, bro, he's lost in that organization.
Right? He's seen ghosts.
It's the same kind of hope I have for Dwayne Haskins, where it's like he might have just been in a shitty situation and the Steelers could fix him. But I don't know, man. We'll see what happens, bro. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think they're like Sam Darnold and Dwayne Haskins have had different issues. I think Dwayne Haskins was very much a him issue. And like his personality was the problem. Him being immature was the problem. Not really being a leader was a problem. I think Sam Darnold's just on the Jets. And that's literally the whole root of the problem. They haven't given him weapons. They haven't given him any support. They didn't even give him good coaching. Right, so I think he just looks bad, but I think the Jets just want to like full restart with Robert Saleh as a head coach. So I think, again, I said we're gonna talk about the Jets and their first round pick later, right? But I think they end up moving Sam Darnold to the Steelers. I think if Sam Darnold becomes available and you guys don't make a move for him, I think you guys are really stupid and you guys are going to be mediocre for a very long time.
Stupid, right?
This is your chance to make things right. Unless you guys trade for like a Deshaun Watson or something like that. In that case, whatever. But yeah, I do think Big Ben will be the Steelers starting quarterback next year. And I think they're probably going to end up restructuring his contract, so it's not as much. Because obviously he needs more help than he did in past years. All right. Talking about another quarterback, Seattle Seahawks quarterback, Russell Wilson, it seems to be unhappy with the team after the lack of support they give him from the offensive line position and like pretty much like his lack of a voice in the front office when they're making decisions and stuff like that. So do you think the Seahawks will trade the zero vote MVP candidate?
If they get a good enough offer, yes.
Yeah.
You think so? For me, I'm going to say it's like this is not going to happen. I think there's like a 0% chance they trade him.
I forget the name of the quarterback of the GM for the Seahawks. But
for the Seahawks, I forgot to say that.
But what I've always heard is that he always says that he's open to suggestions. So who knows, man? Maybe if someone pulls out the big bucks. It could happen.
I think they trade him because I think they've come to realize that like after that first Super Bowl win, whatever. They went full on, or like it was the first or second one, like the first Super Bowl win or second Super Bowl in general, that they went all in on Russell Wilson. And that's where like the whole Legion boom kind of like fell apart and all that crap. But I think they're realizing that like it wasn't the right play, and now they're like, okay, let's just find the new direction of the team. I think you kind of get rid of him because. If you don't, that chemistry in that locker room right now is probably done because of, like, the comments about the O-line. And, like, it just looks bad, like, that you're talking shit about your O-line and then you still have to play with them and you're going to play with them. Like, it's just going to be awkward for the team.
I mean, he had a really good, like, chemistry with DK Metcalf and stuff like that. I don't think trading him is the result. But, like, what do you guys think? Because I was going to mention this in the Deshaun Watson, but, like, it kind of slipped my mind. What if, like they do, like, Dak Prescott for Russell Wilson type trade? Wouldn't that be crazy?
God, that'd be
insane, right? Or Dak Prescott for Deshaun Watson, a trade like that. Those would be two pretty insane trades.
Dallas to Houston?
Yeah, Dallas to Houston. That'd be insane because like I don't really know how far Dallas is from Houston. I'm assuming it's not that far.
About 5 hours. I think it's
like 5 hours? Damn, dude. Texas is huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's a serious option. But besides that, I really don't see them getting rid of him. I mean, because literally any quarterback you get, and as much as it pains me to say this, is a downgrade from Russell Wilson, even though he's trash and he will crumble when the pressure's on him, like he did last season. But yeah, I mean, any quarterback you get is a downgrade. Literally, like at this point in the offseason, besides Deshaun Watson, any quarterback's a downgrade. Even if you do it for Dak Prescott, the only thing you get there is you get a good leader and someone who is pretty good. He's decent. All right. So the moment I've been waiting for. The New York Jets have the second overall pick in this year's draft. What do you think they end up doing in this year's draft? We've talked about this before, but after the report about Mac Jones, I wanted to explain to you guys my scenario, right? So let me go first, all right? And it's a little rude, but like, you know, I got to assert myself right now.
Go ahead.
All right. So the report about Mac Jones, like not falling below the 8th overall pick came out, right? Yesterday, Devontae Smith, who is like the wide receiver to get in this year's draft, right? They asked him, who would you rather have to be his quarterback, Tua or Mac Jones? He said Mac Jones.
Oh, I saw this. Right? Yeah.
The Jets have two first-round picks. I think they take Devontae Smith at number two, and then they trade up to get Mac Jones with their second pick. I think that's their quarterback wide receiver combo of the future. I think that's what they should do. I think it's pretty exciting, and it gives a lot of people in New York to get a lot of stuff to get excited for. They have a bunch of picks. They're kind of like the Dolphins and the Jaguars now. But like, go all in on this duo. I mean, if you like them and you see it and you see what you like it, I think that's what they're going to end up doing. I'm excited for that, actually, believe it or not. What do you guys think?
Sure. Who do you trade up with?
Probably the Panthers. The Panthers, like, well, they said 8th, so I think that'd be the team. To be honest, I don't think Zach Wilson, like, I saw Dan Orlovsky saying that Zach Wilson's actually very similar to Sam Darnold. So, like, I don't know if they probably go in that direction, even though I do like Zach Wilson, but I do think he'll end up going to a different team. But I think that's probably going to be like a scenario with the Cardinals, what they did with Josh Rosen, where they trade away Josh Rosen when they're picking the second round to get a second round pick. So I think then that's when the Steelers trade for Sam Darnold after that. I think this is the way the plan is going to work. And I hope it works out this way, because then it'd be pretty insane that I called this out. But that's the way I think this is going to play out. I mean, what other ways do you guys think they can go in this draft? Do you think they should stay and build around Sam Darnold? Or do you think they just should just start anew?
I mean, I'm right now, I have like the whole, not bias. Like I said this before the Super Bowl, but like the Super Bowl is like just a perfect example of like O-line really matters. So I really think they should just build around that and build around Darnold. But I'm down for Devontae or whatever. But I think they should really give Darnold a chance with a solid O-line and see what happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. No. But like,
you gotta give the kid a chance, in my opinion.
The Jets just strike me as a team that's very impatient, and you get me, like they want to just put something on the field now.
Yeah, like they want results like within the season. They don't want to wait.
You know what's funny? I was actually like watching this TikTok last night that was saying like the Jets won their one and only Super Bowl in like the '60s with Joe Namath.
Yes, because he cursed them.
He did a deal with the devil or whatever, that like if the Jets won that Super Bowl, then like they'd never have to give anything back to the Jets. And like the most cursed position on the Jets has been the quarterback position, right? So it's like crazy. So I think this is the way to break the curse. Mac Jones, baby.
Goddamn, go Joe Namath.
Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy. All right. So we're going to move on to the NBA news. All right. That's the cool. Miami Heat are 12-17, potentially 13-18. I mean, 13-17 or 12-18, based on how the game's going right now. But they're front runners to make a trade for Blake Griffin. Do you think this trade will help the Heat get back on track?
Sorry, I had a big sip of water. I don't know. I haven't really seen what their issues have been because I haven't been paying attention a lot. Because I used beforehand, like if you have asked me beginning of the season, before the season started, I would have said yes, because I always said like they need more big men. But as you're the diehard Heat fan here, like you watch all the games, has that been the issue that they need a big man, or it's just like
they do need a big man? That is indeed the issue.
Okay. The thing is, Blake. I always said they need a big man, but I don't think Blake's that big man.
I mean, me personally, I'd rather go in the direction of Andre Drummond once he gets bought out by the Cavs, right? But the reason why, like Blake Griffin, we'd have to trade for him, which really sucks because his contract's kind of huge, which is why I don't think this is the way to go, right? I'd rather wait for them to get someone in the buyout market, which they've done before. They got Joe Johnson that one year when Whiteside was going crazy and stuff like that. But if they do end up doing this trade, I do think it'll help us get back on track because what we do need is a stretch four, and Kelly Olynyk just isn't it. Kind of the worst guy in the NBA, not going to lie. Always hated him because he destroyed the Wizards, right? So I think Blake Griffin would be a good fit. It'd actually be pretty funny because like when he played the Pistons, our announcer, Eric Reed, was just going in on Blake Griffin for like 5 minutes. He's been like bro, Blake Griffin would shoot a three, be like, what type of shot is that? He's like, that's the least efficient three I've ever seen in my life. He's just going in on Blake Griffin for like 5 minutes. I think it'd be pretty funny. But I don't know. I think that's pretty much our only option because obviously Andre Drummond would probably more likely go to the Nets. I mean, I think, and then Blake Griffin, as we've seen, there's mutual interest between him and the Lakers. I think he'd like to make a return to Los Angeles.
Hell yeah.
So if we have to make a trade, maybe this is the way to go. I know people say that he hasn't looked good in Detroit, but me personally, I think it's because he's in Detroit. I mean, it's the pure reason why, because they're actual trash. But like, yeah, I mean, if you're going to make a trade, that's the way to go. He could really help. He's kind of a stretch three with a decent three-point shot, not a great one, but he clears up some space for Bam and helps us out a little bit with rebounding because our rebounding is absolutely terrible. Man,
if he comes to the Heat, I'm going to lose my mind.
Bro, holy shit. 2012, we would have lost our shit, dude.
Because I'm a big Blake Griffin fan.
You are? What the
yes.
Hell? I've never heard dude, this in my dude. Life.
Because like, I was
he told me this the other day for the first time.
Yeah. I was a big fan. Like during that whole like Clipper era, like the slam dunk contest when he juggled that fucking Kia, like all that like hype, like the alley-oops. Like I was a big, like I told Jerry the other day, for me, like that was like this, that was like the same, like roughly the same time as like the big three Heat. For me, yeah. I was rooting no matter what. I was rooting for a Clippers Heat finals, man. Cause like I just was so invested in Blake for some reason. Cause I think it was so cool. Cause like how like dominant he was dunking. That shit was amazing to watch. Yeah. Especially like 11, 12. I'm like, fuck yeah. And then when... Yeah,
if this was 2012, this would be a banger trade, dude.
Yeah.
But... Oh, my God.
But if he goes to Heat, I'd be down. Because like, I'll be excited to see, because maybe we can... Not fix him. He's not broken, but maybe we can just change the way he... Not change the way he... But like, maybe he just shines better here than Detroit, because fucking Detroit...
I feel like he's also unmotivated playing in Detroit. Like,
yeah.
Like
oh, he, yeah, he 100% is.
Yeah, so he'll enjoy, like... His time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. When you look at him playing Detroit, he just looks miserable, and like he just looks like he's just like going out there just to like joke around. Like I understand where some people would be like, oh, like that just shows that he doesn't want to win. But like in Detroit, it's impossible to win. All right, at this point,
Detroit.
All right, Doug.
If he comes to Miami, the real test to see how happy he is if he starts dunking, because he hasn't dunked in over a year.
I mean, that has to do a lot with injuries too. He was always pretty injury prone guy. Yes. And his game has kind of evolved away from dunking.
Yes, but right? If we see a dunk, we know he's home.
We know he's home, baby. Not gonna lie, those Heat Clippers finals would have been fire, though. I do agree with that.
And those destroyed
them. We would have completely dismantled them, and we probably would have swept them. But it would have been exciting. Would have been exciting.
Dude, we would have destroyed them since Doc Rivers. So like we would have won. But like if it was Doc Rivers, just seeing. The dunks, oh my god.
All right, if it was Doc Rivers, they would have gone up 3-1 and we would have been 1-7.
But it would have been interesting to see though, because like for the longest time, wasn't like Bosch our center? So imagine Bosch against DeAndre Jordan, like Jesus Christ,
yeah. That would probably be LeBron on
Blake,
and Wade then on Chris Paul, be crazy.
Oh,
or god, maybe the Chalmers, but like
that would have been the sake of
matching up our big three against theirs. We'll stay with that.
That would have been the dream.
Moving on, the Brooklyn Nets are currently riding a 6-game winning streak. Are they your favorites to make it out the East right now?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, like, the sociably acceptable answer is probably yes. I think the Sixers have a good shot.
Bro, no, dog. No. This is not the podcast for that, all right? this is an anti-Sixers podcast, buddy.
That's true. We cannot like them.
Where it's impossible. We're rivals at this point. But for me, dog, the way this goes is if one of them gets hurt, they're done for. They're gonna lose in the first round. If all three of them are healthy, I think they're gonna make it to the championship. That's the way this goes. They don't have enough depth to make up for one of them going down. But if all three of them are there, I think that puts them over pretty much every team. And I think they'll figure out the defense another time. Because it's pretty funny. They have like the best offense of all time with James Harden. I'm pretty sure like if you're just going over the whole season, it's probably not as good. But with James Harden, they have like the best offense of all time, and they have like the worst defense rating. So it's pretty funny. But I think they'll figure that out, and I think they'll probably make the championship. Not saying they're gonna win, but I think that is the way it'll go.
Yeah.
Lakers in 5.
Oh no, bro! Lakers in 4, dog. You're giving the Nets too much credit.
Brooklyn Nets, basketball Nets. Don't care. Lakers in 5.
Yeah, the Nets right now 20-12. The
it's a good year.
Oh damn, they're only one game behind half a game behind the 76ers for 2011. Ooh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was telling you.
Those are good years too, 2011, 2012, good years.
No, yeah, I know, but I thought the 76ers were like way ahead of them. I thought they had like 26 wins, but no, dog, not even close. All right, dog, so I think it's time we start talking about the real NBA championship contenders, the New York Knicks, all right? They're 15-16. The best record in years. All right.
Dude, just wait one more year and we're there.
One more year, bro. We have Julius Randle playing like prime Jordan, dog. We're unstoppable.
Dude, maybe the best Knicks team to ever come out the East.
All right. The Utah Jazz are on top of the West currently. Do you think they're the biggest threat to the Lakers? If not, who do you think is?
I'm trying to think on it.
It's probably them. I mean, maybe. I don't know how the Clippers have been playing, but I know the Clippers have been winning.
22-10. They're like half a game behind the Lakers.
Yeah. Maybe the Clippers. Seems like they're taking a real turnaround.
Because like I'm looking at the standings right now, and the Jazz are 1, Lakers 2, Clippers 3, and the Suns are 4.
Suns are bums.
Get the fuck out of here.
I really think I don't know. Because right now it's not helping the Lakers that AD's going to be out for like 4 weeks. So that's not really like helping their case.
I think that helps them in the playoffs. I think that hurts them obviously now. They're probably going to fall a little bit. But I think in the long run, that will pay off.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's going to help him come playoff time because then he's going to be fully healthy. And then, for example, I think I don't trust the Clippers.
Well, I didn't trust the Clippers because of Doc.
I still don't trust the Clippers.
We gotta see Paul George do something in the playoffs. As much as I love Paul George and like I do like him, you know, I recently bought myself a pair of PG4s, but like, dog, he's been choking in the playoffs lately. He's never done this like
lately.
Before he was never like, but like lately he's been. We gotta see something. All right, that's the one thing I'm gonna say. For me, the biggest threat to them is the Suns. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Suns are bums.
I'm gonna say the Jazz, but like not like when I say biggest threat, me is like instead of like Lakers at four, like maybe like Lakers at five or six. Like that's what I mean. Like,
that's the threat.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think the thing with the Suns is right because the thing is with the Jazz, I don't really know if they have like one player that could really take over a game. Even though Donovan Mitchell can't do it, I'm not saying he can't. Right, he did pretty nasty in the playoffs last year, but in the end, they ended up losing. All right. Yeah.
Don't care.
The Suns, dog. I've never seen, and like I swear this on my life, I've never seen a player take over a playoff game like Chris Paul, dude. When he was on the Rockets, there was one game where he was just on fire in the fourth quarter and just completely like shredded the Warriors. That was when the Warriors still had their big four or whatever with KD, right? And he just completely destroyed him. He went on to get hurt in that series, but like just seeing him take over that game, dude, I've become like a huge Chris Paul fan. And I think like someone that has that potential is actually Devin Booker. And I think like the leadership from Chris Paul and everything, I think that gives them a really big advantage. I think they're like right now they're kind of just figuring things out, even though they're doing pretty good, 20-10, right? I think they have good rapport with their head coach. I think it's all going to come together in the playoffs. I think they're going to make a pretty good playoff run. Not saying they're going to beat the Lakers. The Lakers is probably still my favorites because like it's LeBron.
That's LeBron.
It's LeBron. I'm not going to pick against LeBron. But of all these teams, I think they're the team I take, even though, you know, there's Portland out there who's trash. I never take Portland.
Absolutely.
Denver. Denver's Dame Dollar. Bro, get out of here. Get out
Dame
here.
Dollar? Overrated.
Dame Dollar more like Dame Nickel, dog. Get the fuck out of here.
Have you seen a penny?
State not to be slept on either. Best I think. Clutch player in the league. Bro, he's not the most clutch player in the league, dog. You know why? Because Iguodala is on the Heat, dog. Get the fuck out of here. Iguodala. You have, bro, there's someone that had in my mind. Oh, Kawhi's there. Pretty nasty shots.
Oh my god, what the hell are we talking about here?
Who do you think had the better like series closing shot? Was it Dame or was it Kawhi?
Look,
the Kawhi one was just
I've thought about this a lot, right? And the Kawhi one's iconic because it led them to a championship, right?
Yeah.
But the Dame one, it's so cold, bro. Like it's just like the way he just like wave goodbye. Oh, so chef's kiss, bro. Like,
I'm gonna say the Ray Allen one for me.
I'd have to say the Kawhi one because it mattered the most.
Yeah.
You know, dude, I just think like the Kawhi one, like, I'm just like thinking about it right now. I just remember like the video of like the way he like he shot it and he stayed down on the ground, right? Yeah. And just watched it as it bounced. And then went in, and then everyone just went fucking crazy. Oh my god, bro. That shit's so cold. Even though what Dame did was pretty like nasty, like when he just like waved them off.
I love the serious face
when everyone's like on top of him, and he's just like looking at the camera.
I love that. That's the greatest meme. It's.
But yeah, I do think it's Kawhi though.
Like, what the Kawhi one? It was so suspenseful. It was like, I mean, it wasn't for the game. Because they were going to go into overtime if he missed. So it could have probably been for the game. But it was just such a great way to end the Sixers.
Yeah, that was crazy. It's crazy thinking that like if that game went to overtime, the Sixers could have won. And then maybe the Sixers won a championship.
Well, wait, was that the Eastern Conference?
Yeah.
No.
They would have gone to the Bucks. But I would
have Sixers beat the Bucks?
I think it would have probably. I mean, it all depends. I mean, then again, it's Brett Brown. Guy's a pretty bad coach, not gonna lie.
But do the Sixers beat the Warriors?
The Warriors without KD, without Klay Thompson?
Maybe.
Probably. Mm. But then
But Klay didn't go down till the end.
No, Clay did. Clay went out like game two or game three.
Huh?
No. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, bro. We're gonna have to search this up, Doug.
No.
So many red dots on my skin. What the fuck?
Last NBA game. We're gonna search this up, Doug. Is Klay Thompson's career over? Okay, he tore his ACL during game six. All right, so that there is pretty good. But I don't think he had played the entire... I think he missed some of the series, though.
No, it was KD who missed that whole series.
KD missed that whole series and came back...
Or came back game one or something like that. Like,
yeah, wait, let me see.
Oh, my God.
Damn, what the fuck? Klay was going off. What the fuck? I'm looking at his points right now.
Dude,
I think he might have missed game one. Maybe what I'm confusing it with.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm so certain this guy didn't go out to the end.
If you go on like ESPN, it shows you like their recent games, and like his recent games are like that 2019 finals. It's pretty crazy. All right, let's see if he played game one. And I'm just like, yeah. I think he didn't play game one. I don't really see. Oh wait, no, never mind. Yeah, he did play game one. What the fuck? And the game he got hurt, he had 30 points. What the fuck?
Yeah, because he went down towards the end. He went down in like the third quarter or something like that.
All right. Do you think the 76ers would have beat the Heat, the Warriors that year?
I think it would have been Warriors in six.
Bro, that game is when that series is where the Drake meme came out when he was like super sad about KD getting hurt.
Yeah.
He really put his acting chops to the test there. Yeah. So he was just fucking like obviously faking the shit. He's like, oh my god, oh my god.
He's like, ah, damn it.
I love his whole monologues that he put on. He's like, we built this. We built this city. Like shit, like if he was playing, like I love
he was the sixth man of the year. I mean, not gonna lie, he probably has recruited a lot of guys to like be like Toronto fans. I'm not gonna lie.
No, what I heard him, I don't know, he once like sat down in an interview with like LeBron and Bosh. I remember I saw this the other day, and he basically said like he kind of made Toronto relevant, and I'm like, yeah.
It was him and Bieber.
Him and Bieber. No, like he did make Toronto like relevant.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So
Jordan was dead before like he really started popping off, and Kyle Lowry and DeMar Rosen started popping off.
Well, okay, hold on. Toronto was.
Popping with Vince Carter, yeah, popping Vince with Carter, but Chris Bosh was okay. I mean, he probably is like.
And then afterwards, it went downhill.
Because Drake started speaking in this interview how it's like how much he respects Vince Carter. No, he was saying Vince Carter made Toronto relevant.
There you go.
Yeah, I saw a whole documentary about that, and everyone was talking about like Vince Carter making Toronto relevant, like you just said. But like, yeah, for a while there, they're pretty dead though. Not gonna lie, you gotta think Vince Carter was like in the 90s. It's been a minute.
When we're done about sports, I have a question that's been bubbling in my mind this entire time.
Is it for the podcast or after the podcast?
It can be for the podcast. Fuck it. Okay. So McDonald's recently released new chicken sandwiches. Okay.
Spicy McChicken.
No. They have a classic chicken sandwich with just chicken and pickles. I'm sure there's a sauce, but I couldn't tell from the picture. A chicken.
I think deluxe. It has mayonnaise.
Maybe, who knows? A chicken sandwich deluxe, which is adding, I think, mayo, because I saw it in the picture, lettuce and tomato, and then a spicy chicken sandwich. Then what's the fucking point of the McChicken then?
It's a smaller version of it.
It's just beautiful. They'll never take the McChicken off.
Is it a smaller version? I don't think. Is it?
Yes,
probably. They've had that before, though.
The deluxe sandwich that you're seeing is not like. It's not like a Chick-fil-A sandwich where it's like a little sandwich. It's probably like, I want to say the size of like a quarter pounder, right? Maybe. And then so it's just, yeah, it always maintains its relevance because it's cheap.
We're going to have to dig into this, do some research.
They used to have, I don't know if they still have it, the buttermilk crispy chicken sandwich, which is pretty much like
the
same thing. Like you're
pretty
saying.
Much
like
have the same different thing.
Chicken sandwiches. Now they just have a bunch of them. They're buying into the chicken market. Because the McChicken's such a hit.
Well, I thought it was just kind of like competing with Chick-fil-A, but I guess.
Like Wendy's, Chick-fil-A are doing it, like, and then Chick-fil-A released a new one that I want to try. A grilled
spicy grilled.
Spicy deluxe.
Interesting. Their grilled nuggets are pretty fire. That's what I get every time I go.
I haven't had their grilled nuggets.
When I'm not on a diet, then I love their chicken sandwiches fire, and their regular chicken nuggets are like the greatest things given to Carl to Earth.
Spicy chicken sandwich with a lemonade, the play.
Nah, dog. You gotta get the salad bowl, the chicken nuggets, and the Chick-fil-A.
Dude, the one flagger, don't do that no more.
I went to go ask. I'm like, can I just get two empty salad bowls? And she's like, I'm sorry, we don't do that anymore. And I'm like, the fuck?
That's when you pull out the race card, dog. Is it because I'm Latin, dog? Is it because I'm Latin?
You know what? Bro. I think we need to do EBS like tax write off and try out every chicken sandwich from McDonald's.
I mean, obviously, it's for the business. It's for the brand. We built
EBS stands for extremely biased sandwiches.
We're trying to see which chicken sandwich is the best, so we can sponsor them. Obviously.
All right. So let's just end this already. All right. Wow. All right, guys. I think that's all we have for you guys today. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _EBSports. Join the Discord link in our bio. And that's pretty much all we have for you to say for you guys today. Peace out.
Good night.
Bye.